Wait a minute. So, happy Tzongedalia to you all. Since the Mirtz Hashem from the Tzong comes the Tikkun, we can expect a rebuilding soon. We'll hold today's daf is Kuf Nun Zayin, which is surprisingly the last daf of Masechet Shabbat, can you imagine? We've come a long way, baby. This is a big misafta. And we're holding on the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Mechatchin et ha-diluin lifnei ha-behima v'et ha-nevela lifnei ha-klavim. And so in line with the various last minute issues that we're dealing with in terms of behemos, cutting things up, mixing the mors and so on and so forth, we also get back to our old sugya, one of our favorite sugyas, of course, mukta. And here the Mishnah is sasamlan. It creates a das v'tanaka whose name is unmentioned, which is clearly Rabbi Shimon, that says you're allowed to cut up pumpkins in front of the behema, and you can cut up a nevela in front of klavim, which is talking about a nevela that was omedet la'adam ben ashmashot. Therefore, it's not muchan la'klavim, and nonetheless, it's not considered to be mukta. Now, clearly, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo haitan nevela mi'erev Shabbat, asura. It had to have been an nevela before, because otherwise it's not muchan, since it was set aside for achilat adam. By the way, Tosfos is a little bit upset about this whole idea, because we look at it in terms of muchan la adam being muchan la klavim. In other words, the way that the Gemara had viewed this earlier, and in Masechet Beitzah, is that if it was alive before, but it was muchan for human foodstuff before. True, but that's the whole point. Something that's muchan for human foodstuff is not muchan leklavim. But Tosfos says, what in the world does that have to do with that? It's alive. There's not muchan for anything. You're not going to feed a live thing to an adam either. It's not muchan. So Tosfos here establishes, and as a matter of fact, there's another girsa that's talking about yontif, which Tosfos vehemently is docha, because the Gemara makes it clear elsewhere that this is susme tana mukta, like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Shabbat, whereas in yontif the stam mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara then discusses why is it that we switch off, we're more machmir for yontif than we are on Shabbat. Why was Rebbe so same in the Mishnah? Sosa doesn't mean a Stam Mishnah, but it means makes it into the Dat HaRabim. But in any event, Tosfos says, look, there are kind of things you could feed to a Kelev, even if it's alive, if Muchan Liadam is Muchan Leklavi. You know, in other words, watch all those cats going for those birds. You know, there's nothing they like better. Sneaking up on those birds. So, okay, you could do the same thing for Kelev. So if Muchan Ladam was Muchan Leklavim, so then the fact that it was alive wouldn't be marked. Because it was Muchan Leklavim then, too. But since Muchan Ladam is not Muchan Leklavim, it's only kosher to give, to cut up in front of the Kelev, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon. This is entirely other than the other thing that we spoke about, which was the tircha and ofa, making it ofa, allowed to chop something up. Forget about the chopping up. We were simply talking about moving. And it's about the mukta question. The other shailas was a different machlokas that we had. Starting about gurim of the klavim, they were young klavim, they weren't able to eat, unless it was cut, depending on the grif yuvida or the grifuna. That's a separate machlokas, not to be confused. We brought this before. In the context of that, why are we cutting it up? But the main point here is the mukta issue. So this is a classic machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, and the thing seems to be, what's special about it, is that here it seems that Rabbi is mastim aliba the Rabbi Shimon when it comes to Shabbos. Yitmar amar ula halachak Rabbi Yehuda. So ula paskin like Rabbi Yehuda lechumra to ask for something that is not considered to be min hamuchan, for a particular usage on Shabbat, and Rav as we saw earlier, also holds of Rebbe Yehuda. That was the case where we had of the Karkre Dezuzi, where we had those little canvas that cover up things on boats to protect the contents of the boat. And Rav held that that was also to move on Shabbat. The Shmuel said it was mutter. So apparently Rav was also being machmer with Rebbe Yehuda. Levi too is Savar Loch Rebbe Yehuda. Kyoda Levi, Gavi Maiti Trefata Leka Mebi Umetava, Lo Avi Chazile, Eloki Yativakim Kalita. If someone had a Shaila of Trefus on Yontev when they had checked an animal, he'd bring it to Levi. Levi refused to paskin, except if the Shaila was already on a garbage heap. Because he held, what if it turns out to be a trefa indeed, and I can't be machshir? And then so you'll say, well, what do you mean? You could always feed it to the dog. No, I can't. Because muchan lan lavi muchan leklavim. So apparently he held, like Rebbe Yehuda also, otherwise why did it have to be over a garbage pail? So he would only do it if it was on top of a garbage pail. Diyama lo mitkasha. Maybe it'll turn out not to be a kosher animal now after I pass it. In which case, I feel the klovim lo chazya, because of the fact that it wasn't muchan from yesterday. It's not roy even for dogs, so we won't be able to move it out. It's all I need is to have this big piece of trefus in my household. Oh, yontif. So he wouldn't paskin unless it was already thrown out, basically. Vishmuel amar halachak Rabbi Shimon. Vishmuel paskins l'kula, halachak Rabbi Shimon, which really we saw the first stage of in the case of Karkar Izuzi, same case of the canvas in the boat, in the container boat. So over there, Shmuel paskin, that it was mutter. Nonetheless, Tosfos says that we need a new psak in terms of this halacha as well, because I mean he's bothered by why would Shmuel have to paskin if he already said it before, we already know it. And Tosfos taina is that the muktzah here is more chomer than the muktzah. There's different levels we've seen many many times throughout this masechta. There's many different levels of haktzah. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, he wanted to pass him like Rabbi Shimon, even in this more chomer muktzah, where Bechlal wasn't roy for the kelev. Vav Ze'iri savar halach Rabbi Shimon. Ze'iri too holds. The halach is like Rabbi Shimon. Titznan, behima shemeta lo yizizenemim koma. An animal that dropped dead on Shabbat cannot be moved. And Ze'iri said, now wait a minute. That only makes sense if we're talking about behemat kochim. If it's a behemat kachim, so then there's nothing to do with it, because you can't feed kachim to a kelev. Avo bechulin sharpened on me. If it would be a chulin animal, what's the problem? You can give it to a kelev. So that means that he's saying that the fact that it was not muchan for a kelev yesterday is not a problem. So apparently he holds like Rebbe Shimon. He too paskin like Rebbe Shimon. V'yaf Rebbe Yochanan omer halacha k'Rebbe Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan also paskin like Rabbi Shimon in this sugya too. Ask the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Shimon? I thought that the klal is that Rabbi Yochanan always paskins like a stam mishnah. That's not. Don't we have a mishnah that says when it comes to Yom Tov that ein bevakin etzim min hakorot v'lo min hakorash nishbara b'yom tov? You're not allowed to cut to use for firewood the kora of the roof that cracked and fell down. Now anyway it's going to be used for firewood, but since it was not made for that purpose before, you can't use it today on Yom Tov. Obviously he holds that because it wasn't muchan before, it's considered to be a muktzah. So apparently he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So how does he come now to paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Because after all, he always passes like a stam mishnah. Says the Gemara, that's because Rabbi Yochanan learned the mishnah in Beitza as being the words divrei Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda masimos. According to him, it indeed was not a stam mishnah. Toshma, how about this? Matchilin barimata teven avalo be'etzim shebamuktza. Says stam here. That, again, from Beitza, that you can begin taking for firewood. You can take from a pile of tevin, our assumption being that we're talking about Tivnasarya, which is roy only for the burning, but you can't start on the Eitzim in your Mukta. You know, in Yiddish, they have it in the Hegdish, about the Hegdish. Never heard that term? When something is a horrific mess, it's a Hegdish. It's some Pentukadesh. Set aside. That's the Mukta. They used to call the area behind the house where they would store the wood for the winter time. You call it the Mukta. It was Mukta there. So you can't start taking Eitzim out of the Mukta. Now, that only makes sense if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, it shouldn't be usher. No, it's not talking about firewood there. It's talking about arziv, yashuchi. It's talking about valuable wood for building. Over there, it's muktunach, it's kisaron kis. We saw before that even Rabbi Shimon is moda in something that you're miyachid, makomo, that he agrees that muktunach was kisaron kis is indeed asur. Tashma, in mashkin v'shochatin et ha-midbar yod, ava mashkin v'shochatin et ha-bayetot. Remember that we had the question earlier in the Masechta about whether on Yontif you're allowed, when it says mashkin, it means mashkin for the tzorach of Shechita. Remember they used to give, the final drink. I mean, is there anything that you would like? Of course. You would obviously like a Guinness. So you give him that last Guinness before Shechita. And it has an additional advantage besides making the animal happy. Has an additional advantage of making it easier to skin. Boy, is that nasty. It's almost like making the guy pay for the bullet they shoot you with, back in the old Stalinist days. But Richie, you're not happy this morning. You don't want a Guinness.
Well,
you're not happy this morning.
Can I have a Guinness? Am I allowed in the bath? Guinness?
No. I can understand why you're not happy. So you can be mashke and shecht, an animal that comes into the house, but you can't be mashke and shecht an animal that wanders around out in the midbar, and that you only have to go in there, you have to go catch it, find it, basically. So the reason for that is because you wasn't moving from before. So apparently you hold that the Mishnah here seems to be saying stam, like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the animal wasn't set aside for shechita, you can't shecht it. So again, isn't that problematic for Rabbi Yochanan, who passed him always like a stam mishnah, and yet he claims here that the halach is Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, indeed that is a problem. However, Rabbi Yochanan found another stam mishnah, which was like Rabbi Shimon. This is not precisely a stam mishnah, because it's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. However, because we have a klal that Beit Shammai bimkom Beit Hillel eina mishnah, so we can ignore the shita of Beit Shammai. We're left only with Beit Hillel, which makes it a stam mishnah. So what is a stam mishnah? The case of the cleaning the tablecloth. Whether magbiin me'al ha-shulchan atzamot u'klipin, can you pick off of the table the various shells of things that you've eaten or bones and so on? So Beit Shammai says you can. This was the gears that we had in the Mishnah earlier. And Beit Hillel says you can't. And it turned out that girsa was wrong. Beit Hillel said you have to be misalek the top of a table and turn it to the side, get everything off, but you can't lift it directly. But Omer Reb Nachman, Onu Ein Lano La Beit Shammai K'Reb Yehuda, Beit Hillel K'Reb Shimon, the correct girsa is the inverse. And we back that up by the fact that it's not listed in one of the cases, which is Chumrei Beit Hillel in the series in Idiot. So in any event, since Beit Hillel ends up saying, Aliv Reb Nachman, that the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon and that you can pick up the dirty things from your tablecloth. So if that's the case, he found a stam mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, which is why he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Pliki bar Rav Acha Ravina, there was also machlokas of the later Amoraim about how to paskin. Chadamar b'chol ha-shabbat kula halacha k'Rabbi Shimon levar mi-muktzim machmas mi-us. That in all, some learn this means literally all dinim of Shabbat, others learn in all of the muktzah issues throughout the Masechet, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, except for the case of Mutra Machmas Muse, where over there we say, Allah is like Rav Yehuda, that it's Osir. That would be the case, Mainu, that would be the Mishnah about Ner Yashan. So a old cheres, Ner, which gets very filthy and unpleasant to handle, that over there, even though Rabbi Shimon is Matir, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Osir, according to one of these Amoraim, V'chadamar, no, even Muktzimach was Miyus, that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. The only case that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda is Muks v'machmas Isur, not to be confused with Klisha Malach Toli Isur, but rather something that was unusable because it was involved in Asiya of Isur, which was what case? The Mishnah about Ner Shidliku Babota Shabbat. If you had lit this Ner, then even when it goes out, it's still considered to be Asur. In that we paskin like Reb Yehuda. When it comes to Muktzva Machmas Kisaron Kis, of course, it was already Reb Shimon is Boda when it comes to Muktzva Machmas Kisaron Kis. Titzan Kola Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbat, Chutz B'Meister HaGadol, V'Yatecha Macharesha, can move anything on Shabbat except for a professional saw, which has to be kept in very good shape, because otherwise you bend one of those notches in the teeth, and it's bad news. And the ateg, which is the metal piece that sticks down into the ground, cuts with your plow. That is not meant to be used for anything else but plowing, and it's quite expensive, and that you set aside for Shabbat. And indeed, so this is how we paskin. We paskin lakula when it comes to muksa. We don't hold of muksa, believe it or not. There's no issur muksa. And therefore, we basically are makil on all of the muksas except the ones that Rabbi Shimon agrees to, which is muksa makas gufo. It's not a kli at all, like a piece of rock or something that you pick up. Muksa makas isur. And everything else can be moved, although perhaps only Letzorech Mekomo, Letzorech Gufo. But it can be moved. Some learned books from Akbas Mias can also only be moved, just like a Klisha Malach Taliyas, Letzorech Gufo, Letzorech Mekomo, or Letzorech Richie's Guinness, perhaps after the... Oh, hello, Rich.
Zipta Heilige Mishnah.
Mefirim Nidarim B'Shabbat V'Nishalim V'Nidarim Shein Letzorech HaShabbat. You're allowed to be made for the neder of your wife or of your daughter on Shabbat, and you can go ahead and be shoel chacham for nedarim as long as those nedarim are letzorech Shabbat. And it seems to be that we have two different halachas here, that hafarah is one thing, it doesn't mention the letzorech Shabbat, and it does mention when it comes to she'ela only those nedarim that are letzorech Shabbat. Now, I mean, one possible explanation for that would be that hafarah, since it can only be done on the day that you heard the neder, in lo akshav ematai. So it's always, so to speak, letzorech, because there's no other time to do it. But when it comes to a she'ela, you can be shoel anytime. You can be shoel 10 years later if you want. You get three people together and you can go ahead and ask them to be matir your neder. But it's also possible that maybe the only reason we separated hafarah from she'ela is because it's done in completely different ways. One is done in terms of the bezdin, and that, of course, we generally avoid on Shabbat. There's no din on Shabbat, there's no bezdin on Shabbat. The other one is just done by yourself, you can be made for it, but it could be that there too it's only letzorech HaShabbat. But that would imply that you do have an opportunity after Shabbat, and we'll see that, in fact, there's a machloket as to whether the day, as far as Farat Nedarim is concerned, is the day measured by 24 hours from the time that you heard, or is the day measured by as much time as you got left in that day, no matter what, in which case, of course, you wouldn't be able to be made for after Shabbat. So this we'll see in the Gemara. Upoke kinatama or, and we had that machlokas earlier, whether you're allowed to put something into a window to close it up. We're passing here like a chachomim huramatir. Umodedina tamatlit. You have a piece of material, a rag, that touched something tame, and you need to know whether the food that it came in contact with was nitma from it. So the only way to know that is by measuring it to see whether it has the shear of the shalosh etzba'ot in order to be mekabel tuma. So you're allowed to take a ruler and measure it. Moda dinata mikva, and you can also measure a mikvah to see whether it has the 40 saw. It has to be a 3 amas deep, and then it has to be an amma by an amma to fit in 2. Take a ruler and measure that, because it's all the tzarech mitzvah. Uma said, bimei aviv shel Rabbi Tzadok, ubimei abashov ben bitnit, it was also an actual maisa, where they had to pakaku et ha-maor betofia. We'll see what the case was. But they had an emergency in which they had to seal up a window using a tafiach, which is a bucket kind of thing. And the kashrut ha-mekeidah begumi, they also tied a tafiach, which is a small one tefach wide can made out of kicheres. They tied it with a piece of reed in order to lift it or lower it, depending how we understand the case, we'll see, to measure a hole in a barrel to see whether it had a poteach tefach. Now, obviously, it must have had something to do with tumat amet, because that's the only time that poteach tefach is important, is tumat oel. And they needed to see whether it was poteach tefach ulav, umidivrehem. From that event, labadu, shepokakin, umodudin, b'kosherin, b'shabbat. We see from there that you can close up a window, that you can, when you need to know a halacha, measure something on Shabbat, and that you can tie on Shabbat a kesher she'eino shel hayama. Iboilo. Getting back to the reish of the Mishnah, that separates the case of hafara from the case of she'ela. When it said hafara, it didn't mention l'tzorech ha-shabbat. But were the words of Tzorech HaShabbat going back on Hafara as well? Or were they only referring to She'ila? So therefore the Gemara asks, when it says Hafara, they're talking about Ben Letzorech, Ben Shalo Letzorech, so did it not matter when it came to Hafara? Whereas only She'ila was the Tzorech in and Shalo Letzorech lo. And Mishum Ha'achi, and that would explain why it is that we separated the case of Hafara from the case of She'ela. Or might it be that the Hafara is only allowed to be done also Letzorah and not Shalo Letzorah? You'll say, but then how do you explain the fact that it puts it into two separate cases? The reason it puts it into two separate cases is because it's done in such a different way. Simply, it's a different procedure, and one is a court procedure, so a court procedure is one heter, and the other one is a private thing between a man and his wife, and therefore we list it separately. But it could well be that we would only do it letzorech also, maybe. Tashma. Let's see if we can bring a raya from the brayse that was quoted by Zuti in the Prophet's Beis HaMedrash, which is Lefirin Nidarim B'Shabbat L'Tzorech HaShabbat. Here it talks about Hafara, not She'ela, and it says that even Hafara can only be done L'Tzorech HaShabbat. So you see from here that even to be made for a netter for your wife or your daughter, it would have to be the type of netter that needs to be mufar for Shabbat. Let's say that after her experience of the week earlier, she asked cholent on herself. That would be terrible. You just found out about it, so you'll have to be made for her neder. Of course. Oh, eat, my daughter.
Before lunch?
Eat the cholent. So that would mean that would be Letzorech HaShabbos and only Letzorech HaShabbos. Now there's a Lishna Achrina. A Lishna Achrina connects this question directly to the issue of how much time is available for doing the Hafara. And here's how it goes. Letzorech is the word Letzorech Shabbat, Hatar Vayu Katani, referring back to both Hafara and Hatara. V'shalolatzaraklo, but if you don't need to be matir eating the cholent, wait till after Shabbos to do the hafara. But that would imply that you can still be mefer after Shabbat, even though you heard about it on Shabbat, which must mean that the measurement of a day b'yom shamo is indeed 24 hours, and not only the time that you have available. So alma hafarat nedarim mi'et la'et, that would mean that hafara is for 24 hours. Dilma ki katani letzorech asher elohu diktani, or perhaps hafara indeed can only be done today, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it's letzorech haShabbat or not. The only mention of the Mishnah of letzorech was referring to the she'ela. She'ela can be done in a bezdin 20 years later. So therefore, you don't need it for Shabbat. Why do it for Shabbat? Aval hafarat nedarim, afilu shelo letzorech. You could do hafara of your wife's nether, even if it was a nether that had nothing to do with Shabbat. Why? Because there's no other time to do it. Since you heard about it on Shabbat, if you don't get it mufar, there's no way to cancel it. Alma hafarat nedarim kol hayom, which would prove that you only have until the end of the day. And this would determine how to read our Mishnah. Tashman, in this lashon, we bring a raya to Tani Reb Zutti Devei Barf Papa, again from the bride of Reb Zutti, that says Mefir Nedarim b'Shabbat l'tzorach haShabbat, dafke l'tzorach haShabbat, but shelo l'tzorach haShabbat. No, which proves alma hafarat nedarim is actually me'et la'et. You have 24 hours, in which case wait till after Shabbat.
Does this have the same implications on Yom Tov?
Yeah.
And
so
what would you do on Rosh Hashanah?
No idea. Omer Rav Ashi, v'anant nan hafarat nedarim kol hayom. So says Rav Ashi, doesn't it say in the Mishnah that you can do it during the day and only during the day, not for 24 hours? And it's therefore b'yesh b'davar la'kel alach mir. I mean, it depends basically on circumstances. Sometimes you get a long time. So ketzah, nadra lele Shabbat. Mayfair, Lele Shabbat, Leyom Shabbat, Achtechasher. Let's say she makes it better not to eat cholent on Friday night.
Have a little bit of time.
Whew. So you got the whole Shabbos. Of course, it doesn't matter, according to this Mishnah, whether it was not to eat cholent or whether it was not to go to the gym. Because since you only have today to be Mayfair, you're going to have to make for Shabbos anyway. So it says here you have until the very last minute of Shabbat, but you only have until then. So weird. And if in fact she had made the neder right before the end of Shabbat, nadra im chashecha, she was very smart. So she left you about 10 seconds for you to be mefer. It's always dangerous to marry a London, you know. So you only have those few minutes to be mefer. So you know, you'd have to be mefer at the last moment. If you didn't do the hafara, it's too late. So how can you say that the braita of Rav Zutti, the Veir of Papi, is correct if the Mishnah says otherwise? Says the Gemara, because it's a machlokes tanoim. Exactly, tanoim, titania. Hafarat nedarim kol hayom, which is the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Amru, me'eid la'eid, you have 24 hours. Since we paskin that hafarat nedarim kol hayom, you would therefore be able to tell Mika she can go to the gym, even if it's on Shabbat. Not she can go to the gym, but she can tell her she can go to the gym.
I guess the problem here is someone's speech that's happening.
Yeah, it's similar. Similar to din also.
Similar to
it's a procedure that is not necessary for Shabbat. Basic in Yonim of Chol. It's I think once we answer din, so we answer anything that's similar to din. I think Chayesh is really going to write. Vinish alin nidadari, and we will if somebody made a neder on when. Maybe 5 minutes before Shabbos, he's not going to eat cholent. So then you can be maybe matir is neder to eat cholent. But how about if he made the neder on Tuesday? All of a sudden, now you decide you want to eat cholent. You should have thought about it before So maybe in such a case, we'll tell the guy, suffer. Don't eat your cholent.
Oh, cruel and inhuman.
Yes, but he should have thought about it before, no? So he boiled it. Kishalo hayaloknai, odilma afilo hayaloknai. Does this mean the guy had no opportunity to be sharl on his netter before, and therefore, being as it's an emergency, I mean, what, he's going to miss his cholent on Shabbos? So it's an emergency. Huh?
It's not leftover cholent.
No. Yeah, this is real cholent.
This is the cholent.
No. This is the new Shabbos is cholent. Therefore, we'll be matter him. Or is it only even if he had time before Shabbos? I mean, after all, I mean, now it's a kind of sufficient. You won't have for chant on Shabbos. We should be matur even on Shabbos, even if he had time before. Toshma, the askiku le'rabbonim rabzuta berei the rabzera v'sharle nidre. Listen, the ma'aser shahaya. I mean, we have an actual case. In which terrible thing, in which they had to be matir eating cholent for poor Reb Zutta Brei Reb Zira, and even though he had lots of time before, so memela, you see that you can be matir if it's a tzerech haShabbos, even if it were doable prior to Shabbos. Then they were made of a ma'aser shehaya b'mei abashov ben bitnit and b'mei aviv shel bitzadok, that they actually closed up a window with a piece of cheretz, a kli of cheretz, and they tied a small cup of cheretz with a reed and used it to measure on Shabbat to see whether something, a barrel of some kind, weird case, had a split in it that was a tefach wide. What was this story? Certainly sounds interesting. Omre Yiram Arab. The story is like this. There was a hilkati ktana haita ben shnei batim. Unfortunately, the Gemara does not explain itself very well, and therefore we have many different approaches to what really happened. Rashi's approach is this. A hilkati, he says, is a little private path. So there were two houses close to each other, and there was this small path between the two houses, a cut between them. V'tuma haita sham. And there was tumat hamet along the path, v'gigit seduka munachat al gabah. Now what you had over there is somebody had taken a barrel and had used it to make a covering over the path, so that when it rained you could still cut through between the houses and so on, you wouldn't get wet. But the barrel had cracked open. One of the staves of the barrel was now open. And the question was there a tefach in the split in the barrel? Now the nafkamina, if there's a tefach or not, is that if there's a tefach opening, then the tuma that is contained in the area between the two houses will go out straight up through that tefach and will not go to the side. However, if there's no tefach, then if there's windows that open into the path under the barrel, then the tuma will now enter into the homes.
Both homes?
Yeah, any window.
This one little cover over this walkway is mild tuma to both places?
Sure.
Yeah. It makes it one person, maybe.
Well, where it's going to be Yotzil Atzad, wherever the side is. So now what happened is that the first thing they did when they saw, it's a little bit of a problem because Tosfos Tainus, this really doesn't make sense. If it's a person who already died, there's nothing to discuss. I mean, it's too late. So what does that mean? So he was dying? How did he fit under a tefach? Anyway, was he under the tefach? Rashi says, I know there's a whole mishnah about whether the mace is under the opening or not under the opening. The truth is, I couldn't figure out that mishnah for the life of me anyway. So there, it's amazing. Lo yacholti lavin, but I don't know what it's talking about. But anyway, that should make you feel better, Rich. But okay, but the Pashtuns talking about that before the guy died, they wanted to make sure they didn't have time to measure whether there was a tefach. So as an emergency measure, they sealed up the windows with a kli. And that way, if since it's a kli sheres, and the kli sheres is not mekabel tumah on the outside of the kli sheres, then the outside of the kli sheres facing outwards towards the tumah, which would prevent any tumah from coming into the house. Then, in order to be able to open a window, they needed to measure the tefach. So they went now to tie a reed onto a one tefach wide cup, which they then lifted, held against the crack in the gigit, and they could then determine whether in fact they needed to keep the windows closed or whether they could open the window. Now, Tosis doesn't like any of this. Tosis, first of all, you don't talk about a crack in a gigit if it's facing downwards. You say it's peseya. You don't say it's seduka. What's seduka after the price rates in China? We never use seduka on a roof. The question is, it's patuach, not saduk. Doesn't like the language, doesn't like the case, because if the mace is under it, so then it should go out anyway. It doesn't matter how big it is. Because nothing is being mile over. And if it is mile over, what difference does it make? Then anyway, the two move it. Tosfos, therefore, and he doesn't like the word hilkati. Since when does a hilkati mean a path anyway? So therefore, he takes the Rabbeinu Tam. By the way, there's a variation on Rashi's pshat that avoids a lot of these problems, which is the way that the Rabbeinu Bartanura learns the case, is that there was a mate. Somebody was dying in the other house. And now the question is, if the area was sealed, so then the tumor would be bokeh into the house that's next to it, because they're all open into the area between the two homes that has a covering over it. So that was the shaila. He didn't have a case where the mate himself was under the hole. Fine. But in any event, Tosfos learns the cases like the Rabbeinu Hanan. And a hilkati is a play on the use of lelaket bo. Remember we talked about if you have a little hill. So if the hill gets 10 tvachim high within 4 amas, so therefore call it hilkati. This is something that Richie applies all the time.
Yeah.
There we go. So if we have that type of incline, it's considered to be a mechita. Okay, so here you had a hilkati. Sheyesh bo, exactly. Sheyesh bo lilakate is why it's called a hilkati. And the problem is it didn't get all the way up to the roof. Got close to the roof, but there was still a space between the two homes. So what they did is they took the barrel
to shove in the window.
And they had closed, not the window, they had closed the hilkati area so that there would be a real machitza between both houses. They didn't want to have it.
They were mashlim it.
But in general, yeah, not because somebody had died. Mm. They just closed it up using a barrel on its sides. Okay, this barrel, the mesh chazban, cracked open. So there was an opening there. If there's an opening there, then two men in one room will come into the other. So that was the shaila. Then, because they wanted Kohanim to be able to come into that house, so the first thing they did was they had people that were coming on the roof to go into the house to come down. So before they needed to allow them to come over the area where they would walk on the roof. So first they measured they closed up the window that was on the roof so that no Kohanim would become Tomei in case it was subject to the size of a tefach. And then they went to measure to see whether it was a tefach. Could they allow the Kohanim into the house? Okay, completely different.
Which window?
A roof window.
Oh, the house of the base?
Yeah. No, the house, the next door neighbor's house.
Why will that tumor get in there?
Because if it went into the house, it'll come out to the aruba on the roof, so they closed that up so that they could at least have the kohanim on the roof. And then the question was, could you come downstairs? So they went to measure if you could come downstairs. There's other fascinating, really cute explanations about the two steps over here. Yeah, because it's mashma, the sugya in India is mashma, so Nadi Yehuda learns it like this, that a kli cheres will be chaitzit bifnei atuma in terms of ochlin and in terms of kli cheres. But it won't be chaitzit bifnei atuma if there are kli shetef in the house. So the first thing they did was as an emergency measure, they sealed it up to prevent atuma from getting any food or from getting any kli cheres. But then they needed to find out whether the kli shetef had been tamei or not. Okay, that's his approach.
But, so that's, yeah, why it has a,
that's why they did it on two stages. And the rest we will leave for tomorrow morning's celebration.
Really?
And we have a special siyum here tomorrow morning in which the family that created this Beit Midrash, the Kutia family, Tzvia Kutiel, in memory of his son, in memory of his father, ultimately in memory of Chaya, his wife, who made that beautiful parochet that we're looking at there. The family will be here for the siyum tomorrow morning.
After the daf?
No, before the daf, because they have to get up to the Beit HaKvarot. And therefore, at 8:15, if you could try to be with that, to come on time tomorrow, please, in honor of me. Also, if there's anything that you'd like to bring, also in honor, maybe some leftover cake, a drink, so maybe they're going to be bringing you. Know.
They are or not?
They said they will bring. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what it's saying, but just bring something and make them feel good. I mean, I'm sure they're going to bring something.
Honey cake. Where are they from?
Honey cake would be. They're in the old city.
What time did we start? What time? Well,
very important members of our community. Yeah.
Right, we come to the regular time.
8:15, please.
They're going to be here already.
Yeah.